freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com as well. Brock, another day in Phoenix, but he's joining us. Good morning.
Game day, baby.
Game day, Brock.
Another day. Game day. Game day. So I also went out and bought a condo down here yesterday.
Oh.
Chatted with Doug and Wolf. I'm going to do a kind of a segment with them each morning to help pay for that. And I'm just going to do the show down here, bro.
I like that.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think that's actually a pretty good idea.
Good, good. And you can come down anytime you want. You can kind of crash in my place, just like, you know, game days heading to Pullman. And I'm sure Kyle's going to have buddies and everybody, the whole world descending on him and Dave Pridemore and their campers. So
why haven't you left yet, Kyle? Don't you think you should get... Okay, he's not in there. He should get going now. State of emergency in Pullman.
So.
Danny, Dave, and Moore on their way to do the broadcast there tomorrow. They'll be in the RV lot. If anybody's heading over and you want to go say hi to Danny, Dave, and Moore, they'll be over in the RV lot doing their show with a generator. We've been putting this thing together for the last few days.
Come again?
Oh, it's like going to be the most Pullman show
ever. The generator's going to power the Wi-Fi hotspot.
Which is somehow powering an entire broadcast. So
are they sending an engineer?
No.
Like to London? No.
No, not even an engineer.
So well, I mean, Jim and Danny? Around.
I will say this from the engineering department, exact quote, this will work. Okay, you said it. You signed off on it, so yeah. we'll see where that goes. I wanted to start, Brock, with the story that we've been following here for a while on 710 ESPN Seattle. This show in particular. If you've been a longtime listener of the show, you know that one of the things that we've talked about, I don't know, I want to say at least once a week for the last few years, has been whether or not the Seahawks will stay here in Seattle. As you know, this is a major concern for a lot of people. Paul Allen's ownership, of course, has been in doubt, and now, you know, after he passed away, people all over the city have been desperately wanting to know, will the Seahawks stay in Seattle? Ownership, obviously, in question. Who knows what could happen with their stadium funding and all that. Will the Seahawks stay in Seattle? Thankfully, a few people asked owners at the owners' meetings yesterday, and Jerry Jones looked completely bewildered and said, yeah, of course they'll be staying in Seattle. And then Jim Irsay was like, well, yeah, why wouldn't they be staying in Seattle? But this is big, breaking, splashing news. Put it across headlines, USA Today, Sports Illustrated. Make sure everybody knows, Brock, the Seahawks will indeed be staying in Seattle, ending this long, long, months and year-long
Save
conversation.
Our Seahawks.
Whew. What a relief
Save
today.
Our Seahawks.
Hopefully we can all continue to sleep now at night, knowing that the Seahawks will remain
here. You know,
you
and I have memory issues, dude. I wouldn't be playing that game. Like, did we really talk about it?
This is the most aggravating story to me. I just don't understand.
We haven't talked about it, right?
Not for 1 second, because this is a non-issue in any way. The Seahawks are not going anywhere. There's not a question that they would go anywhere. Some ridiculous reporter asked a couple of owners yesterday this for no reason whatsoever, and when they said, no, of course not. It turned itself into a news story, which is bizarre. This would be like if you got home one day and you had a letter waiting for you at your house from your mortgage company, like, hey, we have no plans to repossess your house. Like, well,
thanks.
No kidding.
I've been a good payer.
I pay my mortgage every month. I'm on time. I have money in the bank. Why in the world would you even send me a letter about repossessing my house?
Yeah.
This is so silly.
Well, let me hear from Judy. Didn't Judy have some reaction?
Judy Bautista?
Yeah.
This is Judy Bautista of NFL Network explaining the future of Seahawks ownership.
All teams have to file a succession plan with the league. So the league has the succession plan. The question is, what becomes of the Seahawks? Paul Allen never married. He had no children. He has a sister, Jody. The question is, would she be interested in owning the team on an interim basis? Would she want to own it long term or possibly sell the team?
Yeah. Yeah, this is challenging. Mike, I'm totally 100. Actually, I'm about 99.9% with you. I understand why this is a story, because there's no heirs. I understand why this is a story, because in 31 other markets, there is, I'm sure, a succession plan. There is something in place. You know, in when you're talking about the wealthiest owner that was just about Paul and no other owners, most of these teams, are split up a bunch of different ways, have a majority owner, and then lots and lots and lots of minority owners. And much of this is already put in place. And why did the league call? I think very quickly, the league office, not reporters, why did the league office call? Because you just don't have many situations like Paul's around the league, where you have just one entity of that level of wealth with no wife and no kids and no succession plan, at least none that we know of. And I can kind of understand.
Well, she made it pretty clear. There is a succession plan, whether or not it will be the long term. The NFL, I'm sure, required some level of a succession plan just in case, especially knowing he'd been sick, et cetera.
Yeah.
So obviously there is a succession plan. Just because we don't know it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
It's required for all owners.
But that being said, Brock, you're right. The future of Seahawks ownership is an enormous story. Enormous for the NFL, enormous for us here in Seattle, and we'll talk about it quite a bit over the course of the day, and I'm sure over the course of the next few weeks until it gets sorted out. Whether or not they're staying in Seattle is not a question.
Yes.
That is not up for conversation. They have a wonderful stadium. Really, 99% of the reason any team leaves anywhere is because of the stadium, and that is a non-issue right here.
Yep.
CenturyLink Field is a gem. It is paid for. There's no issues. It's got enough luxury boxes. It's state of the art. The fan base sells it out every single game. I mean, this is a 100% complete non-issue. None. Zero,
none.
Zip, zilch. Whether or not, Paul Allen or what the succession plan is, is a huge issue. And whether that next owner can live up to the lofty standards Paul set, I'll say it right now. The odds are they won't. The odds are the next owner will not be as good as Paul Allen.
Yep.
And that's just, look, if he was one of, if not the best owner in the NFL or one of the best in sports, the chances are whoever owns it afterwards will not be as good.
Yeah, let me double down on a couple of those things. The first point you make, you have a world-class facility. You have a world-class practice facility. You have a world-class market with unbelievable wealth and everything else and have, pretty significant stature as far as any of the media markets in the country. You check every one of those boxes, the NFL. Oh, and by the way, 40 years of a fan base that's been about as stout and just showed you in London about as just prolific as any in the league.
Maybe they're going to move them to London. There's many fans.
So you check every one of those.
Call USA Today. Seahawks not planning to move to London.
Not going anywhere. On the other side of it, though, you're right. When I actually sat down to think about it and you start to evaluate, we evaluate quarterbacks. We evaluate offensive coordinators. We evaluate head coaches. We evaluate GMs. Those are all very, very easy to evaluate and form some level of opinion on. We very rarely evaluate owners. And yet, Mike, in this market alone, look at the devastation that some owners have done to their franchises and fan bases. Like, we don't ever really even think about
it.
It's hard to evaluate. Oh, how's Paul Allen stack up to Jerry Jones? What's their 40 time? What's their height? What's their weight?
Right.
Do they have a further broad jump than Bob Condotta? You don't ever talk really about that. And for Paul, it's just 65, not 85. You're thinking, well, this is going to stretch. He's going to battle. He's going to fight this cancer, beat it like he did the last time. And unfortunately, in an incredibly sad way, he did not.
Yeah.
And because of it, you're right. You stack it up. You tell me, what do you want in an owner, Mike? I want incredible wealth. What do you want in an owner? I want a guy that gets out of the way. What do you want in an owner? One that just empowers his coaches and his people to be their very best. What do you want in an owner? One that's creative and never rests and keeps putting back into the team. Like, at every turn, that's what this guy did, and that is hard to find. And the Sonics guy didn't, and he sold his soul. The Mariners, I think for a lot of years, had a non-existent ownership, and I think that played a role. Mr. Stanton, I think, is heavily involved now and wants more than anything to win in this town, and obviously has a fair amount of wealth, too. But, man, it's going to be very difficult to fill those really big shoes.
It's going to be enormous, and bad ownership is a disaster. Look what's going on in Miami with the Marlins, where thankfully they're getting rid of that stupid home run statue, and that's the least of their problems. Yeah, bad ownership, it can destroy a franchise over the course of time, and I think that's a real concern because we don't know what ownership will be here going forward. Not short-term, but long-term for the Seahawks. I think that's a huge conversation, but not whether or not they're leaving. That's not. Because it's not a real thing.
No.
Brock, I know you got Stanford at ASU tonight. Do you expect anyone at ASU to pull a Vontaze Burfict and attempt to injure anyone at the Cardinal?
No.
No?
No.
All right, I got a headline. ASU to host Stanford should be able to restrain themselves from playing dirty.
Yes.
All you got to do is ask people questions that are insane. And when they say no, you can turn that into a story.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? What an easy job it must be to be a USA Today reporter. You just ask a dumb question, and when the answer is no, you just get to turn it right into a story. Pete Carroll, do you plan to retire at the end of the year? No. Carroll will coach at least one more year in Seattle. Like, was that up for debate? Was this a story? That's no thank you. No thank you on all that. It's 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, multiple NFL owners did say yesterday they expect the Seahawks will go up for sale following the passing of Paul Allen earlier this week. Of course, the team will stay here in Seattle, but ownership remains a large long-term question. I want to be clear on that. I don't think there's any issue and any negative impact on the Seahawks short-term whatsoever. I think they are going to be just fine. Long-term? Yeah, I don't think we know the answer to those questions yet, and I think those questions become very real about who will own this team. Paul Allen was unique in his incredible net worth. There are very, very few people in the world, let alone the country, let alone locally, who would be able to afford to buy by themselves a $3 billion franchise or something that would approach that level of valuation. So you're probably looking at a group of people, a group of partners coming in to buy the team. And we don't know what that group would look like or how they would act. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions long-term about what this looks like. As for right now, zero zip zilch.
Yeah, one of the challenges as well, Mike, and why this became a story yesterday is because of the valuations of these clubs, because of what everything that Paul Allen built with these Seahawks, and because there's probably going to be a lot of folks that want in. It is one of the most exclusive co-ops there is. It's 31 other billionaires that all take great pride and an enormous ego with many of them as they run their ball clubs. And there's going to be others that are going to want a piece of this. And that's why I think it made headlines. That's why, even though there was no news to report whatsoever, somehow, some way, some of the national outlets do create some of those news. And I'll double down and I'll say again, trying to fill these shoes will be one of the most difficult. We found another quarterback. You find another head coach. You find another GM. To find another owner like Paul Allen is going to be incredibly hard to do.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, what a day for the baseball postseason yesterday. Dodgers beat the Brewers early, 5-2. They take a 3-2 series lead in the NLCS. And then just to make the commissioner happy, the Red Sox beat the Astros 8-6, the final last night. They now lead that series 3-1. What a game in the ALCS. Back and forth early. It looked like this game was going to be double digits on both sides. And every inning, both teams seemed to find a way. One team scored, then the other team went ahead, then the other team came back. It ends on an incredible catch from Andrew Benintendi to save the game. He misses that ball, and probably over in the other direction. But instead, he makes the game-winning catch. Where does that rank? Is that better than hitting a game-winning home run in the postseason? I think it might be. Or at the very least, it's equivalent. And when I was a kid, that's probably what I imagined more than I would imagine hitting a game-winning home run.
I'm starting to feel for John Smoltz. He lost his mind as our own Wade Miley got to throw five pitches, and he was done and pulled in that Brewers game as they continue to work through all of their pitchers and all their bullpens and continue to be creative. It's not working as the Dodgers go up 3-1. And in the other series, just watching last night, two teams that we know fairly well here in Seattle, and certainly an Astros team that we know very, very well, in a packed house, in a building where they knew the significance of it. You could not fall three down, 3-1, and that's exactly what they did. And Mike, both of those teams just don't have holes. As you look at the Mariners and you look at this offseason, the different moves you would love to see them make, and where is this thing going to go in the future? Yeah, the last couple teams standing in the American League, no surprise, have very, very few limitations and can win and beat you in so many different ways. And the Red Sox, not just do it offensively, defensively, they won that game, and that's why they're up 3-1.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
We've got a state of emergency, Brock. In fact, the city of Pullman has declared a state of emergency in anticipation of the large crowds descending on the Palouse this weekend. All right, fine. It's just sort of a technical thing you have to do in order to get the funding for more buses, which they're going to need to support all the people. But still, I think it speaks to what the heck is going on out there. 75,000, 100,000, who knows how many people. Kyle reporting that the Walgreens overflow lot is already full, so unless you've got a place
Walgreens,
to park.
Walmart, bro.
What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Get it right.
I don't know. I've never been to a Walmart. I've been to a Walgreens.
Yes.
What's a Walmart?
Stop it.
Sorry. In any event, news coming out yesterday, a report that Klay Thompson's expected to be the guest picker on game day. It's going to be a madhouse in Pullman.
It already is a madhouse. The bus rolled into town yesterday, and it couldn't get down the road. Old Crimson was flying. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of students and others out there. A bunch of the folks from Game Day have been on our air. Chris Falica was on yesterday with Bob Gross and Tom, and just said this is a bit unique. It's going to remind me, I think, a little bit of Fargo, North Dakota, where it is the biggest show in town, where it is coming and you have to be a part of it. It shut down the city of Fargo, and right now with the state of emergency in Pullman, it looks like it may do the same there.
All right, there you go. That's three things you need to know every single morning. We do that right at 7:10. Salk, how can you be so insensitive to your listeners who have experienced the departure of a Sonics team? Well, because the Sonics there was a long lead up to that, and there were question marks in the arena and who was going to build it. It was not just about ownership change. It was about all of the real problems with that franchise at the time. And unfortunately, no one stepping in, whether it be Howard Schultz or the league or the city government. I mean, there's a million different faults. The Seahawks don't have any of those problems. None.
No.
They don't have any of those problems. The only thing they're going to do is change hands in terms of ownership. Same as the Mariners did earlier this year or last year. It's just not a conversation there. But we can talk to the professor about it.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Where did this crazy story come about the Seahawks not leaving Seattle? Of course they're not leaving Seattle.
No, I know.
Why is this a story?
Well, I mean, it's a story because, again, the subject with the loss of Paul Allen, the owners' meeting, and, of course, everybody's asking. And so, you know, you hear the details. It's like, okay, Jerry Jones thinks it's going to go to in other hands at some point, but not moving. But, of course, I guess that's the one thing you have to add. It's like, oh, is that going to move? But, yeah, it's like it's ridiculous to think that this team's going to move. I mean, Paul Allen put it in his will and put it in the agreement that it's not going to move. So, it's not going to move.
How about this? The fact that the lease goes 10 more years here in Seattle. Don't you think the lease might be part of the fact that they might not move?
Oh, absolutely.
This
and I think also the desire. I mean, because, Paul's sister is not going to sell it to somebody that's going to move. But again, that's not even going to be an option. And why would you move? I mean, you're talking about a $2.6 billion property that is successful, has some of the best fan bases that you can have. It's in a growing city. Yeah, I mean, it's illogical to think that part of it.
You know, it's interesting, John, the two markets that you've spent the most significant part of your life in, with the Rooney family in Pittsburgh and now Paul for the last near three decades here in Seattle. I think fair to say you may have been around the two best ownership groups in the league.
Oh, I agree. I mean, having been fortunate to be able to cover both and be around that, because the one thing that you know is a stability. You know that they know what they're doing. They were able to make sure that you don't create too much change. I mean, in a league where you have seven owners firing coaches every year, I mean, they stick by their coach. They try to make sure that they get the right resources around that coach, the right type of people to pick the players, and then try to make it a good fan experience.
Mm. We're going to have this discussion about, 40 minutes or so, Mike, with many of our listeners, but are you believing in this surge? You know, what the Seahawks have done?
I'm sorry, before you get in, I just have one last question on the ownership thing, then get in. Just because the league made this weird decision yesterday to ban, what did they do? They got rid of the cross-ownership rule, and I don't fully understand what that is.
Okay, so the cross-ownership rule, and it really played into Paul Allen, because what the league did not want to do back years ago was have owners from other sports come in and gobble up the league, because remember, they wanted it as a family type of business. And so what they didn't want is any kind of ownership coming from the NBA, coming from baseball and all that. And so here's Paul owned an NBA team, and so that was one of the things that they had to kind of make an adjustment on. And so what they ended up doing was make it a regional type of team. And so they allowed Paul to then buy the team. That was under the rule. So now, because the price keeps going up and the number of people that can buy these teams keep going down, because now you're talking $2.7 billion, that now this opens the door for anybody in any other sport to be able to come and buy the team.
Well, so was it that you had to have... I don't understand what the rule was. How is Stan Kroenke allowed to own...
They adjusted the rule.
But for him?
For him, yeah. In each case, they made adjustments.
Very, very intense rule.
What's that?
Sounds like it wasn't too intense.
Well, I mean, because again, it's like they wanted Stan Kroenke. I mean, Stan Kroenke was going to pay for a stadium, so it's like I think they wanted him.
Got it.
And so that's why they make the adjustment. Like, for example, they made his adjustment, and what he did is that he let his other, like his son, run the Avalanche. But now his son was not allowed to then buy an NBA team.
Got it.
Now with this, I mean, his son can now get involved with the NBA, with the NFL.
Got it.
You buy in this surge by the Seahawks here, winners of 3 and 4. You buy in that this thing has really turned?
Yes, I do. Again, are they a great team? No. But you can see that they're now, the personality of this team is starting to come, and the players are starting to get better. I think you can see the improvement with the running game, where Pro Football Focus over the last 3 weeks has this as the best pass-blocking team in the league. I think you can see the physical nature of the secondary and how well the secondary is playing. Now, again, what's going to end up happening is you take on good quarterbacks like Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins and that. I mean, the numbers are going to go up. That's just the nature of it. Phillip Rivers. But you can see that, you know, there's a consistency starting to come, and still the big question mark remains the pass rush.
Have you heard the sound of Bill Belichick talking about Lawrence Taylor yesterday?
Yes.
It's fantastic. So Belichick, during his press conference, was asked whether or not Khalil Mack was as good as Lawrence Taylor.
No, wait a minute. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor now. I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class. So you put everybody down below that. That's with a lot of respect to a lot of good players now, but we're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
What do you think?
Well, I thought, first of all, it was a great question, because anytime you appeal to his history,
right,
he's great at that.
It's the only thing he'll talk about.
That's right. And so, and naturally, I mean, Lawrence Taylor was one of the greatest all time. And as good as these players are right now, whether it's Mack or Von Miller or J.J. Watt, they're not Lawrence Taylor. So I kind of like that. And I like how quickly he was able to go. But I give credit to the person who asked the question, because it's one that, gets him into history, and you get a good response.
You know, we were chatting before the show and trying to figure out how many players truly changed the game. Lawrence Taylor truly changed and dictated so much change in the game with left tackles and protections and everything else. Who else did that, John? Are there other guys that come to mind that really, because of their play, you can really point to and say, sheesh, they changed so much of the personnel and the scheme and the planning and preparation of this game of football?
Yeah, I mean, I think you go back and you look at Mel Blunt, you look at Mike Haynes and the cornerbacks back in the 70s, because they were so good in press coverage, they couldn't get off the line of scrimmage, and so they had to make the adjustment and put the give the five-yard area where at least you had a chance to get into the route. Mm. That would be one. I think that you can look at that whole series of left tackles that include Jonathan Ogden and Walter Jones and Orlando Pace, because they were able to get the tight end out of the blocking scheme and get him into the route, because now you didn't have to have that extra tight end to help block. That I think those are type of game changers. I think you look at the some of the aggressive linebackers that are there. But no, I think that game changer, Lawrence Taylor was an absolute game changer, because he got this league from being a 4-3 into a 3-4. And then you look at the guys, kind of like Cortez Kennedy and a group like that, that got teams back into the 4-3.
Mm. Amazing. Still my favorite player of all time. Still a wild card.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
If you could change the liquid that drinking fountains spit out, what drink would you have them spit out?
I think probably I would have Pepsi or Coke, depending on what kind of cola that you like, because I think that you want a little bit of a kick in that. If not, I'd try to make it lemonade, which I think would be a nice little touch.
You're a lemonade guy?
I am a lemonade guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather. Yeah, but sometimes, particularly, if I'm out someplace or whatever, it's like I might want to have that Pepsi or Coke just to kind of get that little caffeine.
Are you an iced tea person?
Are you an Arnold Palmer person?
Like, I'm not an Arnold Palmer person, not a iced tea person.
Nice art.
I mean, let's put it this way. I grew up near Arnold Palmer and covered him many times, but I never drank his drink. I mean, I drank it maybe one or two times.
So. Okay. Just not a thing for you.
Not a thing for me.
All right. John, have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. There's John Clayton with us every single day at 7:15. Brock, you can wait for John.
He's a beauty. He's one of our favorites. I'm bummed a little bit that there's been so much news. We really have not been able to unpack his London trip.
I know.
It's one of the great curiosities that I really
do. Do you think he's somebody that unpacks as soon as he gets back home? Or do you think he's like my wife, where a suitcase is still sitting there a week later, and you're like, hey, you're going to unpack that thing? Or are you going to just leave it in the middle of the hallway for the next week? Which do you think?
Oh, I am the former, right?
Yes. The second I get in the house, I want my suitcase put away.
Everything's put away. Yes. It just has to be.
Get this thing out of here. I don't want to look at it. I keep tripping over it. When we got home from Suncadia this weekend, Heather took her suitcase and put it on the ground at the bottom of the stairs. So she just kept tripping on it over and over. And tripped on it like five times. All right. I'm glad you're with me on that. Kyle, it's a state of emergency, and I'm not just talking about in Pullman. I'm talking about your trailer. It's next on Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
All right, it's going to be crazy in Pullman this weekend. Danny, Dave, and Moore heading over after their show today. They'll be there tomorrow to do their show from the RV lot. So if you're going to be there, go say hi to Danny, Dave, and Moore. They'll be on the scene at the RV lot tomorrow. Brock, let me remind everybody that you just have another half hour or so here to enter for the Pete Carroll Show video contest.
8:15, baby, 8:15. We're gonna go 5 for 5.
Now, that's right. So, we do the Pete Carroll Show every week, and then after the Pete Carroll Show, we put up a video. Watch that video to try to win tickets to go see the next Seahawks home game, which of course is against the Chargers. You can also better your chances to win by doing some other things like in our Facebook page for the station or downloading our app. So there's a whole bunch of things you can do to better your chances to win. But at the end of it, you got to be listening because we're going to call a name at 8:15 this morning, and that person will have 5 minutes to call in and claim their prize. You've got 30 minutes. You got until 8 o'clock to go watch the video and enter to win to get the tickets. Mm. All right. So as we said, it's going to be a crazy weekend in Pullman. They have already declared a state of emergency, Brock. There are no spaces available. Kyle, you said the Walmart parking lot is already full. They're sending people elsewhere. They don't even
Fire
know where
marshals
to go.
Out there. Send them
it's
away.
Free parking at the Walmart, but it's all full up.
Okay, so nobody knows where to go.
Can you guys explain that the state of emergency sounds a lot more dire than it actually is?
It really is.
It's actually more of a city of emergency.
It's so that they can get charter buses there, so they can bus extra people.
Well, they need to bus people around. So
I mean, it sounds way more important.
Lydia, it sounds crazy.
It's an emergency.
It's a straight-up emergency.
And some people run from the emergency, but I run to the emergency.
You are...
There's not enough toilets. There's not enough security. There's not enough cops. So state of emergency brings it all in.
All right, so there you go. So that's what's going on. Kyle, you may know, goes out to every Cougar game. Has a spot in the RV lot and has his RV, which he takes out there. Now, how many people normally stay in the trailer, Kyle?
We usually try to keep it at six. Preferably less.
But
like 4 to 5.
Heading into this game, there have been a lot of requests for people to stay in Kyle's trailer. Every one of his friends has called, said, I would like to stay in the trailer, this, that,
and
the
other. And we've drawn the line at about 9.
Well, here's the thing. We've got 4 people that want to change your mind, Kyle.
What?
They all left us voicemails. We've got 4 people that want to change your mind because they could all use a spot in your trailer.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, man. Hey, Drew Bledsoe here, bud. Hey, I don't know if you remember, but we talked one time. I was on the radio show with Brock, and, you know, it seemed like you and I really hit it off. Anyway, but, you know, I hear you're taking your trailer over to Pullman, and, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, I've kind of hit rock bottom, but, wife kicked me out, Cougs don't like me, I'm just kind of looking for a place to crash. Don't want to impose, but is there any chance maybe there's a spot in your trailer where I can sleep? I'll bring a styrofoam cooler and some Bush Light. Dude, we'll have a great time. Go Cougs.
So there you go. Your hero.
Yes. Yes.
Well, are you sure you want to say yes? There's other voicemails here.
I don't need to hear the other voicemails. They're Drew Bledsoe. Yes.
We've got 3 other voicemails.
The master suite.
I love that he also is like hit rock bottom, and like Kyle's still like, yes, rock bottom is me.
Please. Well, he said Bush Lights.
Hold on. You're going to give up the master suite. Does that mean just you are going to be out of there, or are you
Caitlin's
and Caitlin
out.
Both
no,
exiting? All right. I just want to make sure.
Drew's in. Caitlin and I are out.
All right. Well, we've got other voicemails, so you should wait and hear
respect
who else.
The goat.
You should want to hear who else may want to stay in your trailer.
Hey, Kyle. Ryan Leaf here. Hey, I heard that you have a spot open in your camper for game day this weekend, and I was hoping I could maybe crash. There are a few things I need, though. I don't drink, so I need... a bunch of old duels, and then if you could get like that, you know, like the pedicure massage things for your feet, I need one of those. If you could do that for me, it'd be great. And I definitely, definitely will see you this weekend. All right, man? Thanks. Bye.
So there you go.
Well, now this is getting tough.
Yeah.
Okay. My brother and sister-in-law are now out. Kevin, Tamara, see you later. The Leafs are in. I'm sorry.
All right, so you got Ryan Leaf, but are you willing and able to get, like, Drew was
but
bringing
still
Bush,
gets the
Bush Light.
I'm sorry, Drew gets the master.
Drew's bringing Bush Light. Ryan Leaf is demanding that you bring O'Doul's.
Oh, I'll bring O'Doul's. That's absolutely. We could also do some sort of a quid pro quo. We could trade. Drew brings the O'Doul's. Okay. Ryan gets this. Gets one of the bunks.
All right. So there's a couple options for you, a couple of quarterbacks. There may be others, though, Kyle. You may want to keep your options open for other people who may want to stay in your trailer.
Hey, Kyle. Robbie Toback here. I'm just calling to confirm I still got a spot in your RV. Turns out my wife is coming to the game with us. So hopefully, you know, you have a bed big enough for the both of us. I got the grill packed, got the cooler full of beer right now. I'm going to go ahead and head over and, you know, start smoking the brisket and getting everything ready and save your RV spot for you. So we'll see you over in Pullman. Go Cougs.
All right, so he's going to bring the brisket.
Now he's really talking my language because I'm kind of a brisket connoisseur.
Really?
Absolutely.
I didn't know you were a connoisseur of any food. What do you eat? Like two
barbecue.
Bites of brisket and walk
only
away?
Only barbecue.
All right.
Brisket particularly. But Toback lost weight, right?
Yes.
No. Okay, good. Because we do have a weight limit on the bunks. So I think it's like 500 pounds. So if we're getting two people, he used to be probably 3 bills.
Right.
Now he's back in the 2 range.
Well, yeah, quite a bit. He's probably like 220 now. Tobek's teeny.
All right, but Bledsoe's still in the master.
All right. Well, so you got Bledsoe.
But everyone keeps focusing on the drink. They've got Busch Light. They've got O'Doul's.
Right.
Robbie's got drinks as well and brisket.
Well, I've got one more for you here, Kyle. And I, before you make up your mind, I know you're still excited about Drew as sort of the guy who gets the master suite. I do have one more person who could really use a place to crash this weekend.
Hey, Kyle, this is Mike Leach. I heard that you're going to be in the parking lot. He wondered if you had room in your camper for me. I've had a long week. Before the game, I'm thinking sleepover. You could pop some popcorn. Maybe we could watch some movies, listen to some great classic rock. You know, just kind of hang out, just sort of unwind before the big game Saturday. Hey, let me know. I got my sleeping bag packed, my toothbrush, and anyway, ready to come over there and hang out with my little buddy.
Oh, wow. He called you a little buddy.
Right. This is unbelievable.
Wow.
So, all right. Now this is getting tough.
You've got the coach of the team who wants to stay with you the night before.
Now we do have this little couch that kind of folds out, but it's very small. It only fits a dog or like a toddler. But
maybe that could be for Howdy.
Man. Yeah, okay. Howdy's on that. We go, oh my God.
This is turning into such a party, too. You're having, like, movie night. I mean, popcorn.
Classic. I'm still giving O'Doul's. The master to Drew.
Okay. Wow.
If he wants to bequeath that to Coach, then Coach can ask him for that.
All right. Well,
oh, my goodness.
Doesn't it sound like an amazing reality TV series, too? Just like all these guys in a trailer together.
Robbie Toback, Drew Bledsoe, Ryan Leaf, and Mike Leach, and Kyle's trailer.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
You've got Busch Light, O'Doul's, a brisket, and classic rock.
Oh my and like, your interests are in very different ways. Like, quiet movie night.
Yes.
Like, you kind of want to party, but you kind of don't want to party. Oh, it's great.
Do I leave room for myself, or do I just give it all up to them?
Well, wait, you can't have all of them in your trailer
well,
and not
like
experience
four
it.
Four adult-sized beds. So we've got Drew and the master. Leach can have this fold-down bed that's got a nice, like, eggshell topper on it. I think he'd be comfortable in that.
Sure he would.
And then Leaf and Robbie on the bunk beds.
Right. Any concern that if Mike Leach stayed in the trailer for the night with the rest of that group, he would have difficulty coaching the game the next day?
Oh, he'd be the last one to bed. Oh, I know that.
Pretty impressive. Brock, what do you make of all this? You've just been laughing in the background for the last 10
just
minutes.
Love it.
Wow. Thank you for Kyle. That. That was unbelievable. I'm sweating, actually.
Brock, who made the best case there?
I think Coach Leach calling him little buddy. I think that's probably the winner.
All right, little buddy. We got Coors Light's Blue 42 coming up. It's Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready? Right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42. Blue 42.
How you doing, Kyle? You okay?
Shaking, sweating, heart racing, overjoyed.
Wow.
Big moment. Thanking Brock, thanking Howdy and Lydia, Mike, everyone who contributed to that. Thank you to Drew. Thank you to Ryan. Can I do my acceptance speech now?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. You guys missed it. A lot of famous people interested in getting into Kyle's trailer. Maybe we'll play some of those again. Coming up a little bit later in the show. Before we do it, Brock, let's have some Coors Lights. Blue 42, three good football questions, starting with this one. More likely to remain with the Seahawks next year, KJ Wright or Doug Baldwin?
Neither. I think, honestly, and I don't say that in a terribly negative way or demeaning to any of those guys, as I sound like Belichick talking LT, with all due respect to all the others, but I just think contractually where Doug is at, a knee that's been very problematic for him. I don't know. Maybe he restructures. We'll see how the course of this season goes. You know, if this thing really turns and this team really bonds and it's an incredible, you know, forward momentum, is he someone that may look at a contract restructuring? KJ is an unrestricted free agent. I saw Frank Clark tweeting, I think, last night saying, just wait till we get Spider-Man back. You know, they've done all this defensively and played some really good games without, you know, arguably their second best player behind Bobby Wagner as far as experience goes, and even a Pro Bowl caliber player. So as an unrestricted free agent, I'm sure he's going to want to, you know, play these final 10 games at a really high level and see what a market is for him. But also, likewise, with Doug, just a guy that's had a problematic knee that has fought through much of that, really until this season, that's kept him out. So if I had to hedge a bet right now, on Doug's current contract and KJ being a free agent, I would speculate that both will move on in 2019.
Question number two. Seahawks had one of their better off seasons in terms of free agents. Remember how bad it was last year with Lacy and Joko? Well, this year, pretty good. McDougal and Fluker and Sweezy. Why was this year so much better?
Yeah, you know, I put some thought into that, Mike, and I think it's because they knew these guys more closely than they have guys in the past. The Jamarcus Webb, Bradley Sowell, Luke Jokel were guys that none of them had experience with, right? They were big guys that played against them to some degree, and kind of like some of Tom Cable's draft picks that he felt like he could take their strength and make the most of it, but there were way too many weaknesses. And while John Morton was a running back coach in Green Bay with Eddie Lacy 5 years ago, there just wasn't those relationships. Well, with J.R. Sweezy, they know him inside and out. With Bradley McDougal and re-signing him, you had a year run with him. Got to know him inside and out. With DJ Fluker, Mike Solari had his hands on him for an entire season in New York, knew him inside out. So I think maybe to some degree, there was no buyer beware. It was buyer aware that they knew exactly what they were getting, and it's paid pretty big dividends.
All right, question number three. Cougs have a shot to beat Oregon after all this, Brock?
I think they do.
They're favored.
Yeah. The line has kind of moved, right, Kyle? It's moved back and forth a little bit.
Oh, all over the place.
Yeah.
So it
yeah.
seems to just be moving by the bettors, not really by the actual prediction of the outcome.
Kind of like the rules as far as ownership goes, Mike, in the NFL. It's a fluid matter, you know, depending on which billionaire gets in there and how much sway they have in it. But the Cougs do have a shot. I think if you look at history over the last few years, when teams play a really emotional game, and Oregon and Washington played in front of 60,000, unbelievably emotional game in their house. And really, Oregon's been home for the majority of this season. They had Stanford at home. They had Washington at home. They had the most favorable schedule in the month of September of any team in all of college football. So now they've got to go out on the road after an emotional game. Look at it. Look at the precedent that's been set the last few years. That's hard for teams to do, especially when they've not done it before. And this group of Ducks has not done it before at a really high level. This is a bounce back year in a big year for Mario Cristobal. So I think number one, that just human element and that psychology. Number two, though, more importantly, the actual football and the way that Wazoo has played, and the way that Gardner Minshew has just pulled the trigger, played fearlessly. I don't anticipate that changing. I love his mindset. He's got everything to gain and nothing to lose. That will absolutely be Mike Leach's approach. It's Gardner's approach. And Tracy Clays has done a truly incredible job. Coming off of Alex Grinch and losing him, Tracy Clays was the perfect hire for Mike Leach. I think at the end of the year, We're going to be continuing to talk about that right fit and that right hire for that system there defensively. Yeah, I think they got a real shot to make it interesting in the final minutes.
There you go. That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. You talk about KJ and Doug maybe both moving on after this year. It's interesting. I wonder what some of the reaction is to that, because on one hand, look, it's you know, those guys have been mainstays here really from the entire beginning of this run for the Seahawks. And the idea of them moving on, like anybody else that you've really come to love in that time, is challenging. On the other hand, we've seen what it looks like moving on from some of the guys. Like you see that it's not all dropping off a cliff the moment you move away from some of the great players as they get older. I wonder if some of the success the Hawks have had so far this year replacing their great players makes that a little bit easier to think about.
I would think so. I also like the fact that Keenan Reynolds is back on the practice squad. They had to kind of make some moves with the tight end issues and injuries and everything else.
I like that guy.
I do too. That guy's just got a little bit of game, and I don't know if he'll get picked up somewhere else. If another team has injury needs and likes him as well and pulls him eventually off the practice squad, or they got to juggle the roster more. But you know, he's a guy that to my point earlier about just taking a trial run with these guys and getting to know Bradley McDougald, and that's why he felt so confident that you could sign him. You know, the one guy that you didn't maybe have that relationship with is Ed Dixon, and he's the one guy that for 6 weeks has been over there on the injured list that you finally get back and hope that he can add yet another starting element to this group. So, yeah, you always got to be careful in that free agency game, don't you? I mean, we've learned that in many of the different
absolutely. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what that looks like over the course of the rest of this year and what kind of season those two guys have and how the Seahawks thing goes. Are you buying this? Are you guys buying this? Are you buying, like, Brock, you and I seem to be kind of buying it right now for sure. I mean, the tone of the conversation on this show for the last 2 weeks, not just after the Raider win, but really after the Rams loss, has been really, really positive. Probably the most positive it's been in a while. Are you guys in the same boat, or are there still some hesitations? Where are you guys at with this? 206-421-3776. Are you still in full-on rebuild mode? Are you starting to gain some expectation level where, you know, maybe the nerves start creeping in a little bit? Are you buying this? 206-421-3776. Try to grab some of your calls. The top five board will be out. It's all coming up next here on Brock and Salk.